Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Pleased to welcome you to today's edition of All Sides Weekend and the Arts. And my guests for this program are Karen Bell, who is Associate Vice President, the Arts Initiative at The Ohio State University. So I have a lot to ask you about, just given that title, about everything that you're doing. And Cindy Gaylord, who is ArtZine on TV 34. That's TV 34's award-winning magazine program about the arts, which is seen.
It is going to be seen. Well, it's seen a lot of places. The first push that I will tell you is that all of our shows are archived on the web, wosu.org/artscene. And you can see all of our past segments. We're going to have a segment coming up in January, a brand new segment. If you've seen The Nutcracker, which is going on right now, we had a reporter going behind the scenes and reporting on the kid wranglers. There are hundreds of children in this Nutcracker, and they rotate out every night. You don't see the same kids doing the same performances. So there are parents, there are moms, there are dads, there are uncles, aunts, grandparents behind the scenes ushering these little bitty kids through the performance. You don't see any of that on stage, but we captured it behind the stage. We're going to show that January 6th at 7:30. It's always the first Wednesday of every month at 7:30 p.m. That's just one of our segments for this month.
I gave you the actual date, but if that's wrong, it's the first Wednesday.
It's the first Wednesday.
7:30 on TV 34?
Yes, and we always repeat those throughout the month, Saturdays, Sundays, 10:30 at night. Go to the website, wosu.org/artscene. You'll be able to see all of our running times, plus the day after it airs, I always usually try to post it on the website. So if you can't see it on TV, look for the segments on the website.
How long has ArtZine, which by the way, it's ArtZine, how long has ArtZine been in business?
You would have to ask me that. I'm trying to work. It's like an anniversary.
I think it's 5 years.
We are in our sixth season, so we just went past 5 years. Yeah.
Is it what you hoped it? Because I remember some of the early meetings that you had when you were talking about first what to call it and what it was going to be.
Yes.
Has it turned out to be what you expected, or have you been surprised along the way?
I have been absolutely gobsmacked, surprised at the open arms that we have run into with all of our arts partners. They have opened the doors, the backstages, the planning sessions, and let us come in with cameras. You just don't get that in most cities, most arts organizations. Columbus is a unique beast, and they have come in, and this show gives you a behind-the-scenes look. That's what we wanted it to be, and sure enough, that's what we do, and it's amazing.
I was at a GCAC board meeting the other day, and we were looking at some of the great things that ArtZine has done, and GCAC is a good partner with you. And it was mentioned, Cindy Gaylord is so revered in our community, in our arts community, and so appreciated that you're doing these great shows that are award-winning shows and showcasing, you know, all the wonderful things that are going on.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel so good. I will have to pay them heavily for that compliment. But it is, Christopher, it's been more than I expected. Arts organizations, some can always be just a little bit prickly, little persnickety.
In Columbus.
Not in Columbus.
That's true.
This is not the first art show that I've done in my career. And I've always been prepared to be able to smooth egos and try to dance lightly when I deal with them. I've never had that problem.
Now, whenever we do this program, when we get together to talk about the arts on All Sides Weekend, lately we have to say two things. Times are hard, one thing. Lots going on, second thing. And there's a little bit of a disconnect, a happy disconnect there. I look in today's Columbus Dispatch and I see three concerts being done in the next 72 hours that are all top quality. There's Lessons and Carols at First Congregational Church Sunday at 4. The Columbus Symphony has this huge gospel holiday celebration going on. And the New Albany Symphony, which is a brand new organization that's thriving in its second year, has a holiday concert in New Albany Sunday at 3. So, Karen Bell, what's going on in poor times with all this activity?
Well, you know, artists, you cannot keep a good artist down. And one of the things that we are working with is the young artists. I mean, it's very challenging in the arts right now. I mean, we know that Ohio Arts Council, they have been cut 47%. And that
since
impacts
when? How
just
long?
In these last 18 months or something like that. I mean, really a short amount of time in the last 2 years. GCAC, the bed tax is down. And these are our organizations that are giving out the grants and are helping our major art organizations and our younger artists survive. So it is challenging. However, as I just said, you know, artists keep going. And you'll even notice that the major organizations, they're doing everything they can to protect their programming. And so still this good programming is going on. And we are truly at a precipice. I mean, the programming is going to have to be diminished if there's any other problems.
Let me just interrupt you for a second to ask you to sort of explore that word programming. Programming is what they do, basically.
Programming is what they do. So putting on the Nutcracker, putting on 10 different evenings of ballet throughout the year at the museum, putting on certain numbers of exhibitions. So the numbers are not diminishing yet, but the people supporting the programming, the people supporting the concerts and supporting the exhibitions, those numbers, those staff positions have been greatly, greatly reduced.
One thing, and Cindy and you and I have talked about this a little bit off mic, that I don't understand is the sort of willingness to cut marketing positions when people are making cuts. You're sort of eliminating the people whose job it is to sell the product. I don't mean to get vulgar and businesslike about this, God forbid, but that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, let's get there. Yeah. Are you seeing this as a trend?
Oh, I think it's a trend. Kind of corporate-wide. It's not just arts organizations. It's smaller organizations where they're trying to do. And what they will do is the evil term outsourcing, right? And they will outsource their marketing. Now, there's a couple of bright spots. Let me put it that way. I work with a woman named Patty Donahue Geiger, who is the head of PDG Communications. Now, Patty's been in this community for a very long time. She was the former head of marketing for Thurber House and for Ballet Met. And she's put together an arts organization communication marketing kind of business, and that's what she does. So there's outsourcing going. Is it a good thing? I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's one of those things that right now I personally find it very hard to find any information about any of the organizations that I like. I think we are saturated with noise that is coming at us. Twitter, social media, all of that stuff seems very hyper important, and I am not sure exactly where to go. Here's what I do. I use the old-fashioned web when I want to find something. And I say, well, okay, I really would like to go to maybe Ballet Met. But it's got to be me that says I want to do something, where marketing will bring you a plethora of all of these programs or shows and says, hey, how about this? And they sell it to you, right? I think that marketing right now is just undergoing a crisis that says we don't know how to get the right information to the right people.
I think it's undergoing a transformation for sure. And I know when we're working with these young artists, they are all about – If I put it on Facebook, I can get several hundred people here. So can you still? Yes.
Okay,
I mean,
great.
We're seeing that now. You know, we're seeing that with some of our visual artists particularly. And if they're having an art market or if they're doing some kind of, big party, they're getting hundreds of people. And it's through these what we see with the older generation, you know, the non-conventional, you know, the Twitter, the Facebook. So I think we're in a very, very much a transitional state with marketing. It used to be the newspaper and the magazines and the radio and the television.
Yeah.
And it's just very different now. And frankly, I haven't caught up. You know, it's my generation that maybe hasn't caught up. We call the old-fashioned web.
Yep.
I mean, I think, woo-woo, yeah. I'm really hip.
I actually bought postage stamps the other day. I thought I would die. You know, I hadn't done that in 15 years.
Right.
There is one website that we do talk about, columbusarts.com.
That's correct.
That is pretty good. That's pretty focused.
Yeah.
And if you check that once a week, you're going to be pretty well informed about just a really wide range of events here in Central Ohio. ColumbusArts.com. I'll just throw that in. That's something that my Arts Unscripted colleague Nanette Macy-Junes is involved with.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I like about that is that we have had callers here on our show previously that said, hey, how do you get folk art on?
Yes,
how do you
we
get,
have.
You know, how do this really microcosm, small
niche.
Thank you. Groups get on, and you can do it there. And it's really great. You can get everything from the King Arts Complex, you know, what they're doing in the Elijah Pierce Gallery, all the way up to a very small craft show out in, you know, Hilliard.
ColumbusArts.com. I would, you know, if you're interested in the arts at all, 10 minutes every Monday morning, whatever, with your coffee, have a look at that. You can really get a real good overview of what's happening out there.
After you've read the newspaper.
After you've read the newspaper. I still actually read physical.
Yeah.
I get ink on my hands. I like that. I mean, I'm still part of that generation. Yeah. Later on in the program, we're going to invite your calls. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're talking with Karen Bell, who is Vice President of the Arts Initiative at The Ohio State University, and Cindy Gaylord. Cindy Gaylord, who is the producer and founder and artistic director of Art Zine, which is TV34's arts magazine program, which airs
Wednesday. Well, it airs all the time.
All the time. But,
okay. But the next premiere, the next show will be the first Wednesday in January, which we think is the 6th at 7:30 p.m.
It is the 6th. Thank you, Amy Jurevich, our producer,
you,
just chimed in with that. Social media. You mentioned, Karen, Facebook. You mentioned I've never tweeted or Twittered in my life. I still haven't done that, but I do Facebook and find the most appalling people from 40 years ago who are equally appalled to see me still there. Crucial now?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm even a convert, I have to say. I can even do Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I do Facebook. We do have an Art Zine Facebook page,
sure,
by the way.
Yeah.
And we are trying our dinosaur-like behaviors. We are trying to shed them and come into the new age of social media.
Earlier this morning, somebody was on this station, the program right before us, and they were talking about Twitter, for example. And they said, as you know, the plane went down in the Hudson River, there are people standing on the wings tweeting and Twittering and giving information while the Times was trying to get there.
Figure out what it was they're trying. Well, they're waiting to be rescued.
It's a different world.
It is a different world right now. Do you have to be 16?
Well,
it helps,
I'm really trying to learn. And every time I say I'm trying to be hip, I know I'm not, because just using that word, you know, puts you in the wrong category.
Well, it used to be if you wanted to program the VCR, you'd have to find a 7-year-old boy. Now, who has a VCR? I mean, who even has a VCR anymore? Mine's gathering dust. We're going to take a break in just a moment here on All Sides Weekend, and then I'm going to invite your calls, 292-8513 or allsides@wosu.org. The number again, 292-8513. Let us know your interest in the arts in Central Ohio. We're back in 1 minute.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News Team.
Workers and supporters of the Community Crime Patrol reminded council members that the organization's budget has been cut by 60%.
While it appears that we are receiving level funding for 2010, we are actually being cut by $50,000.
Hear the latest in local and national news with Morning Edition on WOSU 89.7 FM.
And good morning. You're listening to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. 33 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20. Mostly cloudy skies today, a high of 42 degrees. Cloudy with a chance of rain and snow in the evening, and then snow after midnight. The accumulation could be a little less than an inch and a low of 28 degrees. Some snow on Saturday. We could see another inch of accumulation and a high around 30. All Sides Weekend continues on WOSU 820.
We are back talking about the arts on today's edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy with Karen Bell, my guest, who is the Vice President of the Arts Initiative at The Ohio State University, and Cindy Gaylord, who is the producer of Art Zine, TV34's award-winning arts Magazine program. Okay, Karen Bell, I've been saying Arts Initiative for the last 20 minutes, and it's time to really ask you what that is.
Well, right now we have two initiatives that are going on, one with emerging artists, and we have multiple threads to that. So we are working with these young artists in a space. We have a space for them, so it's an incubator space for them to practice and really engage in creating a career for themselves. So this space houses Jam Jam Productions, a dancer who is holding classes there, rehearsals, performances. We have Whistling in the Dark Theater Group, and they are doing sketch comedy and radio shows, old radio shows, as well as some conventional theater and rehearsals. We have a group called Mixed Media, and they are working in a variety of ways that utilize technology. They're working also with young children and in with arts programs. And then we have Artillery, and Artillery is art. Artillery is the visual arts group, and they have created a gallery in the space, and they also are creating these art markets. So right now, this Saturday, as a matter of fact, in the Skybar space in the South Campus Gateway, there are over 30 vendors who will be selling their work. And this probably isn't the right way to say it, but I said it's like winter fair, only more reasonable.
That sounds good.
And
to
it's
me.
Because most of them are young artists, just starting out, although I went last week, and fabulous quality and really great. So that's 12 to 6. And then we're also partnering with Ohio Arts League, and they are also in Arts in the Alley.
Now, let me ask you something. Just based on I know more about this than I let on, because you and I have talked before and done some things together. But just for people who are just finding out about this, from what it sounds as if OSU is becoming a landlord for emerging artists, but there's more to it than that.
Yeah, it really there is some subsidy of the space, but what we really are doing is talking to these artists, working with these artists, encouraging them, and giving them the expertise that they need to grow a career in the arts. Along with the incubator, we also have a fellowship program, and Don Vickers is spearheading that. And for anybody that knows Don,
he's the guru
of leadership and helping you reflect, you know, do some self-reflection on how do you really want to go about creating this career, and then bringing in the technical sources, the technical people that can help make that happen.
During one of our off-mic talks, you and I, about a year ago, you had a line that it's a T-shirt line. It's great. It's creating a life.
Yes.
You said creating a life in the arts. What does that mean to you, creating a life in the arts?
Well, you know, artists often have portfolio lives. They do a variety of things to sustain to pay the rent.
Right.
And but also to sustain, I'd say, to sustain their hearts and souls, as well as to sustain, you know, their homes. And so what we're helping them do is find ways to make their art commercially viable. And I don't mean commercial in that, you know, it's velvet paintings that you're selling for rock bottom.
We want them to live.
Starving artists, pride. Right. So what we're trying to do is help them create models. For example, one of our dance artists is figuring out how to program gallery space when there are gallery openings, where there are visual artist openings. So she's working on that here in Arts in the Alley. And then she's going to be able to market that to different galleries throughout Columbus and across America. And so she's really creating this model of how to create a product that is then valued and you can make some money on.
Hold that thought. I want to come back to that, because I also want to ask you about the Royal Shakespeare Company and some other projects you're doing. We have a caller on the line, Ed. Ed wants to get information online, and Ed is a man after my own heart because he says he needs tips for those who are not tech savvy. Hello, Ed.
Yes, hello. I freely admit to being a Luddite, extremely untech savvy. You know, give me a computer and I can get online and get the information, but I don't have one, so I go to the library a lot. The problem I have is that many organizations, and I'll give a perfect example. My wife got two free tickets to Wildlight Wonderland at the zoo. No information on the ticket except the website, no phone number, no hours. If you look in the paper, none of their ads have hours. And the only phone number that's listed in the phone book for them is their group sales number. And I notice a lot of organizations are like that. They want you to go online, and even when you get online, there's no address. There may not be a phone number. They put you through three or four different hoops, passwords, and in fact, one of them I got, "What's your server?" I'm like, "I don't know what the server is. I'm at the library. I just want to send an email and get some information." So I would urge people that don't forget that there are still people out there that just have a telephone and occasional computer use, and when they would like to get some information, a telephone number, even if it just has a recording of what's going on, will still be helpful for a lot of folks.
Thank you, Ed. Wonderful points. I appreciate the call. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Thanks very much. Well, what about that? I mean, are we ignoring a large part of the audience that really is not tech savvy and probably aren't going to get real tech savvy? Are we doing that?
I think we absolutely are, and I think we're assuming that most people are going to follow the trends that are out there, and I totally agree. When I went to the zoo lights last Saturday night, I had the exact same problem. My problem was I had no idea where the parking was, and I had no way to get to the zoo to tell me how do I get in here. It's assumed that you know. It's assumed that you're going to go to the website and find out. Well, I didn't, and I forgot, and so I didn't do that.
You know, don't make people work for it when they want to give you money and buy tickets for presentations. Yeah. Do not make people work for it. Hello, are you out of your listening?
Yeah.
My parents are in Florida, and they said that they no longer put the movie schedules in the newspaper. And they don't have a computer, and they've kind of stopped going to the movies.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It's bad.
Yeah.
We're talking about the arts on today's edition of All Sides Weekend, and we'd like to hear from you, 292-8513, or you can send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. By the way, the website for the Arts Initiative is artsinitiative.osu.edu, and there is a lot of great information there. I wanted to just say one thing, Karen, as I'm listening to you both and talking with you. I spent early this morning online with a young man who's like a godson to me, and he's trying to be an opera singer, and I was talking him down. I was talking him down because he was not having a good time. And I'm very grateful I have no talent. I couldn't do it. I absolutely don't think I could do it, even if I did have talent, live as an artist, try to make it as an artist, I think is horrendously difficult. Karen, what do you see your role in meeting that problem?
Well, two things. As I said, I think helping these young artists have the conversation with themselves and with each other. And how much do you need to do this? I know for myself, when I was a young artist, it was worth it to me to eat peanut butter and jelly and to do a little bit of waitressing and dance a lot. And that was my life. That's what drove me. And if I didn't do that, I would be more unhappy. Making money wasn't the thing that drove me, but being able to sustain myself. And so we're having those conversations with these young artists. And then, you give up. You may, not always, but you may give up a lot. Now, here's an interesting thing. We just in these 3 months that this arts gallery has been open in the Gateway, the Shoebox, one of our artists, he graduated 2 years ago. He said when he was in school, even though there were some opportunities to learn about the business of the arts, that didn't really interest him. The minute you get out of school, it starts to interest you. And those are the people that we're now capturing, and they are really dying for that information. This young guy, in the first month of beginning to run this store, said, "I finally feel like a working artist." Now, three short months later, they've got money in the bank, and they have found a model that is helping other artists as well as helping himself. So, if you're really determined, there are ways to make a life.
Please, Cindy.
The model seems to me, Karen, that has changed in the last 20 years. It used to be that you were an artist and you did your art and that's all you did. And then you had a benefactor or you had a gallery that would show your work and you would be in partner with somebody else. That has changed now that we are in a different, obviously, marketing situation and things are so easy communications-wise to promote yourself. Are these emerging artists looking at that they are taking on their own career? They are not looking at other people to do it for them.
That's exactly right. And, you know, again, you look at the web. Students are putting their portfolios on the web, whether they're performing artists or visual artists, and marketing themselves in new ways. It's not only about getting that one gallery and having, you know, an agent, so to speak, or having one agent. So it's very different.
What I love about the Arts Initiative is that y'all, here comes my New Mexican accent, sort of kind of from Texas, but you take arts seriously. You take your artists seriously, and you look at it as a business, and you say, yes, this is what we can do. This is – I want the listeners to understand, this is totally different than a lot of universities out there. This is something totally new.
Absolutely.
That we are now as a community saying, yes, this is important. We have given you the education and the opportunity to refine your art, but now we're going to go to a step further and create business opportunities for you and take you seriously. That is what I love about this organization.
Yeah. Thanks. And, you know, we're not only working with OSU grads. We have grads from all around the city. We have grads that actually have come and moved to Columbus because Columbus is getting a reputation of being friendly to the arts. And so, you know.
That's something I want to throw out there, and I do want to encourage people to call. If you're an artist living in Columbus, what's it like trying to function, making a life in the arts in this community? Let us know what that's like for those of us like me who are not talented. 292-8513 is the number. Send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. If you're a young artist or not even a young artist and you're trying to make a life for yourself in Central Ohio, how's it going? What are the challenges? What are the benefits? 292-8513. We have a call from Todd who wants to talk. He's not on hold yet. He's still chatting, so we'll let Todd – we'll have him wait a bit. I want to talk about the new radio component of the Arts Initiative.
Sure.
That you two, Cindy Galit and Karen Bell, are involved with, and it has a WOSU connection, I'm happy to say.
It does. This is Capital City Radio, and this is an experiment with employees here at WOSU. Our marketing department, our radio department, has created a new – right now it's on the web. It's on capitalcityradio.org. You can also get to it through our main website, which is WOSU.org. It is a brand new way to experience emerging artists, emerging musicians. When I say emerging, I'm talking about new people, but I'm also talking about old, like Bruce Springsteen and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Those people are still putting out albums, okay? It is geared toward people like me that would like to hear something, you know, that is new mix of blues and folk music and good rock and roll that just really isn't being played anywhere else. And remember, this is non-commercial, which is really great. But what we're also doing is we're putting together some programs that are around this. And again, this is all after-school projects, guys. We're doing a lot of volunteer work here with this, and we're putting together some really exciting stuff, though. Eric French, he is one of our radio techs here. He's also in a band. He does a show called Groundswell Columbus, and he talks and has local bands perform. He talks about local bands, interviews them, and has them perform, which is great. Again, non-commercial. The other thing that we have that I've been able to partner with Karen, and she can talk about this a little bit more, is that we have sit-down interviews with emerging artists. And if you want to hear some of these emerging artists and really, Christopher, listen to these people. These people talk about what it is like to be an artist.
I've listened to two of them, and I learned a lot. So, yeah.
It's on capitalcityradio.org. And go to the blog, and that's where all of these, and you'll see them. They got beautiful pictures, and you'll listen to the interviews that we do with Karen Bell, who has turned out to be a fantastic radio personality.
I figured she would be.
Learned it from Christopher Purdy.
No, you're not.
So who have we talked to? We've got four posted right now.
Right.
And I want to ask you, Karen, why do you think this is important? And two, what have you learned from these people as they've come in and talked to you about this?
Well, one of the things that we are focusing on are these young artists who have actually traveled away from Columbus and come back. We're focusing on people that believe in Columbus, that have a positive spirit about the arts and their careers in the arts, and who want to do it here in our hometown. And so I'd be remiss not to mention Adam Brulette. Adam is truly one of the young mover and shakers in this city. He's been involved in Grandview, in Junction View, in Grandview, in having studios there for artists, having these great big events called Agora. Literally 5,000 people have attended these events. Yeah. Things are happening with this, you know, this young group.
Now, he's a painter.
Adam is a wonderful painter, kind of cartoon-like paintings. He's going to have a show, actually, in the Arts Initiative in February.
And they're huge. They're like, you know, 10 by 6. I mean, they're just huge.
Yeah.
They're really huge. And we talk not only with musicians, we talk with a tap dancer.
Yes, Janae Kutcher, another person who we've sort of kept in Columbus. And she's one of our fellows and is in our arts incubator in the Shoebox.
Okay, Capital City Radio.
Yes.
It's on the web.
It is on the web. It will soon be on HD Radio.
Yes. The web address, again?
Is capitalcityradio.org. Or you can go to our website, which is WOSU.org. And you can go to – there's a button there that you can go right to Capital City Radio.
I know when we throw out these web addresses on the radio, we throw a lot of information out there. Just remember, Capital City Radio, you'll be fine. You'll find it. Now, you have four pieces up for the emerging artists right now. How many – are you producing something every month, every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
How's that working?
We're producing one interview per week, really, that actually airs on Capital City Radio on Friday mornings, and then we post it to the web because that's really a great way to get it out to everyone.
Okay, I want to take this call from Todd, who's now on hold. Thank you very much. Who wants to talk about the business side of the arts. Todd, are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to say I actually work for a young artist. He's 24. I'm 25 myself, and you know, he obviously produces all the artwork, but he's freely admitted to me on a number of occasions that, you know, he just doesn't know anything about business and isn't really interested in it. But, you know, so I handle a lot of that side for him. And I think what a lot of people don't really realize is that there is a business to, even to the art world, there is, you know, contacting galleries, there's, you know, follow-ups, there's ordering, you know, there's all this stuff that there is in the business world. But, you know, a lot of that gets overlooked in the fact that most people only see the end product, which is, you know, this great art.
Todd, is your primary job to sell his work?
My primary job is doing a little bit of everything for him. I do assist him. He's a glass artist, so I assist him both in the studio and then also do all of the other things, contacting the gallery, making sure the galleries have the pieces that they want and need. And all of that. So I do a little bit of everything.
Todd, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I mean, it's been a little lean this year, but you know, neither of us are making that much money because there are now two of us basically making a living off of this.
You are making a living off of this.
Making a living and surviving, and like they were saying, eating, you know,
peanut butter and
macaroni and cheese.
Right.
Yeah.
Ramen noodles, yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's good to know, Todd. I mean, I hope the day will come when you can eat steak once in a while. But I mean, I realize if you're paying your bills with your work right now at 24 and 25, I think that's pretty good.
Excellent.
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 292-8513. If you are an artist, an emerging artist, a settled artist, we'd like to hear from you and your friends. First, though, we're going to take a break. We're back in 1 minute, 30 seconds. This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU.
Crazy rhythm, here's the doorway. I'll go my way, you'll go your way. Crazy rhythm, from now on we're free.
Nellie Mackay's latest album is a tribute to Doris Day. On the Next Fresh Air, we feature her studio performance and interview. Join us for the Next Fresh Air.
They say that when a highbrow meets a lowbrow walking along Broadway, soon the highbrow, he has no brow, ain't it a shame, and you're to blame.
Fresh Air begins in just about 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Tune in tonight at 9:30 for Columbus on the Record on WOSU-TV. Mike Thompson and his panel will discuss how lawmakers have reached a budget deal, the casino development in the Arena District, lawmakers trying to prohibit junk food from schools, all that and much more on Columbus on the Record tonight at 9:30 on WOSU-TV. 36 degrees in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies today and a high of 42. Cloudy tonight with a chance of a little rain mixing with snow in the evening, and then some snow after midnight, an accumulation of less than an inch, and a low of 28 tonight. For Saturday, snow showers are possible. We could see another inch of accumulation and a high of 30 degrees.
Support for Ohio Radio comes from Meijer, dedicated to giving back to the community for 75 years. This year, the Simply Give holiday charity program at Meijer helps to restock local neighborhood food pantries. Information is available at Meijer.com.
We're back for All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. Today, talking about the arts and the arts initiative. I should probably say the arts initiatives here in Central Ohio. The number to call is 292-8513 to get in the conversation. You can also send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. My guests are Cindy Gaylord, who is the producer of ArtZine, TV34's award-winning arts magazine program, which is heard primarily on, well, it's seen all the time, but Wednesday seems to be good.
Wednesday is our primetime premiere.
It's opening night, probably.
Yeah, it's opening night. We get a lot more viewers on Saturday and Sunday, which I really love.
Very good. It's also on the web. You have your own website?
We don't. We go off wosu.org/artscene because we want to fold back into our wonderful station, WSU.
And Karen Bell is Vice President of the Arts Initiative for The Ohio State University. And I'll say it again, I think it's a miracle that The Ohio State University or any big university has an arts initiative. Never mind physical spaces that you're making available to artists and promotions that you're making available to artists and just an imprimatur, which I think is very important. If somebody's working with the arts initiative, then somebody who knows says that this person is worth attention. This person has value. This person's work is going to go someplace. We were talking, and this is interesting because I'm of a certain age. I'm the oldest person in the room, so I remember the ramen noodles and the peanut butter sandwiches. And I had no talent. I was just poor. But the perception of success, you were saying, Cindy and Karen, you were talking about these emerging artists on Capital City Radio and these weekly interviews you're doing with people making art. Sometimes I would think younger people. Is it younger people?
Absolutely.
Younger than we are. Making art here in Central Ohio. What's their perception of success? What's success to them? How will they feel that they've made it as artists?
I think because they can create and do the art that they love. And isn't that a wonderful thing to hear, particularly in this day and age, because we monetize everything. My definition of success or my father's definition of success was a lot different. And I think this is the groundswell that actually, in a utopian world will actually change society. I think this is what I like to be around is people that love art.
Right.
They will
have to do it.
And I think that we, as older people who consume this, really need to be aware of that.
Right.
Because we are not going to buy into a commercialization of something. It is not going to be a corporate kind of thing like a Nike or something else. When we support art in Columbus, we're supporting an artist. And we have to remember that. We have to blow away that misconception so that we won't, support this because we're afraid that it's going to be more organized and more corporatized. It is a real artist in this town that we are supporting.
But I remember when I was a kid and I was singing in choirs and things and working for an opera company, my parents' friends would say, "We don't understand all this interest in music. His parents are normal and lovely people." And I used to get that a lot, my parents went to their graves worrying what's going to happen to him because he's not getting an accounting degree.
When I walked away from mathematics and said I went
oh,
into
wow.
I know oh. it was quite and he was an engineer and he's a production manager for many years. What are you going to do? And I had no answer, but I was okay with that.
You're doing fine.
You're doing fine.
You're doing fine.
Thank you.
And, with dancers, and of course, that's
your discipline.
That's my discipline. And since I was 5 years old. And, you get patted on the head and say, oh, isn't that cute?
Dance for Grandma.
Yeah. And really, to see what these young dancers are doing now, performing, writing, they're engaged in other kinds of interdisciplinary activity. But these young dancers are doing it very differently than in my day. It was, you got into a company and you did what the choreographer told you to do. They are creating work together. And they're creating different kinds of community together. I mean, that's been half the fun of Arts in the Alley is sitting around the table with a dancer, a musician, a visual artist, and say, okay, what can we do together? And so they're going to be creating new kinds of art forms.
Yeah. And what gets me, my big mantra is art is not away from life. You don't engage away from life. Art is life. It should be as important as anything else you do in life. And that's what these artists are doing. And I'm just so excited to be around them.
Yeah. It's very sobering if you read about artists, which I like to do. Martha Graham starved. She starved until she's about 60 years old. I mean, there are people, great names in the business. And one of the concerns that I always had was, this is the elephant in the room question, and I'm going to blame you two for the answers, and I'm going to step away from this because people like you. But are we encouraging too many people more than society can live well?
It's a good question.
I have a thought about
that. Go ahead.
I mean, I've been in education for 30 years, and not just working with dancers, but working with both visual and performing artists. First of all, I think that the education that students get in the arts is a valuable, valuable education for whatever you choose to do, because you're learning about yourself, you're learning about society, you're learning about your history, all through an arts lens. That can transfer into any other kind of profession. And so, first of all, I have no problem educating many students in the arts. If a student wants to really pursue that and they are tenacious about that, they're passionate about that, that will happen. To me, what I think success is that you're still doing it 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years
from
now.
And you still love it. That's another thing. I sometimes see the love go away.
Yes.
I do see that. And you see people persevering and they don't love it. They don't have to do it anymore, but they don't know what else to do. I think you see that a lot.
Right.
I think you do. But Karen, what struck me when you were talking is that, and some of the statistics that we know about is that we in this room probably have one or two careers. The people that are coming up are going to have five or six.
Absolutely.
Or
seven. You're absolutely right. Yes.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if one of those careers were arts oriented?
Right.
And it would change the face of our culture if we took it seriously. We created these opportunities. Are they going to be rich? Is that important? That's the question. And I think that I would love to see a lot more art. I would love to have art news rather than a lot of the cable companies that talk about politics. I would love to have that as something that we really nurture in this world.
Don't you think 15 minutes a night on a widely available TV channel of an engaged young artist who's hungry and passionate? Don't you think watching that would be like a tonic for most of us?
That's what my show's all about.
I know that's what your show's all about.
That's what we try to do. It's different television. If you want to go on the website, wosu.org/artscene, go into the video archives.
Right.
We put them up there just because art is a positive experience. Does art provoke? Yes. Is it not always pretty or something we understand? No.
Does it make people angry sometimes? Yes.
Yeah, and that's what it's supposed to do. But here's the thing. We try to capture the personalities of the people that are doing it behind the scenes. And why are they doing it? And why are they doing it? Because they believe in it. And that is, I think, the best gift that I can give to Columbus.
It's working. It works. We have a call from Brendan. Brendan wants to talk about Mad Lab. Brendan, thank you for waiting. Are you there?
Excellent. I love Mad Lab.
Go ahead.
Hey. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to announce that earlier this week, actually, Mad Lab, which has been downtown kind of close to the Columbus State Community Arts.
It's been on Grant Avenue, hasn't it?
What's that?
It's been on Grant, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been on Grant, at the corner of Grant and Long. Well, a couple of months ago, we got the unfortunate news that that building had, the ownership had changed, and our lease was going to be up coming February or what have you. And financially speaking, we ended up being in a fortunate enough situation to actually end up purchasing and owning outright a new location that's going to be a couple of blocks, well, a couple of blocks a little west, a little bit farther in town. It's actually going to be at the corner of Spring and Third, right on
the
corner there.
Oh, that's great. Good for you.
Down into downtown. Yeah, and what's great about that, and kind of, you know, my fear with, you know, potentially going homeless is that Mad Lab for years, going on about 10 years or so, has been able to provide, you know, low-cost space for up-and-coming artists, and really a very wide, you know, plethora of types of art that come through there, be it, you know, visual arts. We have a gallery, or, you know, film or what have you, or of course the traditional theater, which is our kind of our main focus and whatnot. So yeah, it's kind of a success story. Should be opening up here in March, I would say.
Brendan, I have to ask you something. This is wonderful news, and I thank you for reporting it to us. How did Mad Lab in a lousy economy get into the situation where they could afford a new space of their own? That's wonderful.
Well, you know, part of it was looking to the horizon and kind of forecasting, you know, that if you're in a lease situation, that's a tumultuous place to be. And so we kind of started putting our pennies away, I'd say, about 4 years ago.
So you were smart. You saved up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But also just growing a big supporting base of people, you know, that are willing to donate, either be it money, resources, or time, you know, to us, has been definitely one of our strongest assets.
Mad Lab is another success story, Brendan.
Yeah, well, and let me tell you, it came down to the line there. But we were all kind of sweating under the collar, but it all kind of turned out and whatnot. So we're still doing a bit of a campaign fundraising. We're looking to save up about $20,000 to help with this. The new space needs to be completely rehabbed. The benefit to that, of course, is that we can rehab it to, you know, what we actually want, rather it being owned by somebody else and kind of having, you know,
sure,
landlord's guidelines.
Right, and you'll have a painting party. Cindy Galen has a...
I have a question for you. You're going to be able to do your roulette this year?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we've already selected or already have taken in submissions, and that will be coming up in May. Actually, we've already booked a comedy festival that will be going on in March here. So.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah,
good
so
for
we're
you.
Under our timeline.
Good for you, Brendan.
Good
Thank
for you
for
congratulations.
The call.
Congratulations.
Hey, no problem, guys.
Thank you.
This really reminds me of something I wanted to bring up is that, you know, emerging artists, I have to say, are a hell of a lot smarter than artists that I've come across in the last 20 years.
They are smart. They're savvy.
And they're looking at sustainability.
Yeah.
I love that example.
You know,
they bought their own space.
Because they saved up.
They saved up, and they're not going to – they're not leasing until the lease gets so high that the artists get out of the picture.
Right.
And so – and the other thing about this that struck me is that they are generous with their community. They this space will be open and available for others, and they won't be gouging them.
Yep.
They will really try to make it as affordable as possible.
Another thing that I've noticed about young artists today, which I think is wonderful, is that they are not apologizing.
Yeah.
You know, back in my day, people – and I think they got this generation ago from our parents, who were Depression-era people, if you're my age. You sort of – well, I'm a dancer. You know, there was a sort of that sort of thing. You don't get that today, which I think is wonderful. It's very much more in your face and a little bit more forceful.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think a lot of self-confidence in the arts is, in any endeavor is a good thing. We have Joe on the line. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, I wanted to comment on what one of your persons there said about art doing – hold on a minute.
Yeah, you got a dicey phone there, Joe.
Yeah, I had it on speakerphone. At any rate, I wanted to comment that the art has helped me in so many ways.
Joe, I'm going to paraphrase you. I'm sorry because your phone's breaking it pretty badly. But I think what Joe wanted to discuss was mm-hmm. how an education – you wanted to follow up, Karen, your comment on an education in the arts really helping your life. Apparently, mm-hmm. Joe did not pursue the arts for a career, but he has a background in that.
Well, what we were talking about is, yes, it's great if people do become artists, but – really, we need creativity. We need creative people. And when you get an arts education, you're learning to tap your imagination and to turn that into creativity and to implement that into some kind of project or paper or thought. And so having these creative folks in business, throughout our throughout our economy.
You know what it is? What I have found is that they trust – possibility.
Oh,
and
that's interesting.
You nice. Don't in business. What nice. you create a business off of other models that you have been taught in your MBA program. What artists bring to the table is that they throw out the models and they trust the possibility of other people, and that is what is going to save us.
Yeah. Right there. Years ago,
courage.
there was an article in the Harvard Business Review that says the MFA. The next MBA.
Is the next MBA, yes. Yeah.
And because we need imaginative, creative people to solve the world's
right
problems.
Right brain people. Absolutely. We need right brain people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. And it's not just leaders, we have to elect them or whatever. I'm as cynical as Christopher is at this point. We need to,
the heck with that.
We need people on a day-to-day basis in a grassroots effort in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and that's where we need them more than political elections.
Absolutely.
Hey, you talk about our schools. If I could just say one word about our school project with the Royal Shakespeare
Company.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Let's get to that.
We took 20 local school teachers over to Stratford this past summer to work with experts in the Royal Shakespeare Company in the UK with their Stand Up for Shakespeare program. Stand Up for Shakespeare, their manifesto is see it early, do it. See it live and do it early, see it live and do it on your feet. Go into the schools and get kids up off their feet or on their feet, right. Working with ambitious texts. So we have these 20 teachers from STEM schools throughout our region that are working with kids to create community within the classroom, to do character role playing, so they step in each other's shoes, creating a tolerant, more understanding sort of classroom.
And it's not just theater that you're teaching. You're teaching science.
Yeah.
I mean, STEM, science, technology, education,
engineering,
and mathematics.
Right.
You're teaching hard sciences, the stuff that we find very difficult to understand through
inquiry.
Theater, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. And you're using as a vehicle William Shakespeare.
In some cases, yes, but it's the methodology.
Right. It's the actual technique of teaching that's being introduced from the Royal Shakespeare Company and back at them. There's cross-pollinization going along. You're going there, they've come here, et cetera.
Exactly.
All of this is part of the Arts Initiative at Ohio State. What's the web address for that again?
Artsinitiative.osu.edu.
Thank you, Victoria Elwood, back there doing all the work for us. We've got 1 minute left.
If you want to see some video of that, go to the OSU website, osu.edu.
It's on the web browser
up there. We actually also stole that from our university relations people, and we're running it on ArtScene this month.
Karen Bell is making life possible for young artists in Central Ohio, and her colleagues doing that. And Cindy Gaylord is telling us all about that and giving us the awareness. And one is feeding the other. It's a continuum of the arts. And I'm so pleased that this edition of All Sides Weekend has been all about the arts in Central Ohio, ArtScene and the Arts Initiative. Thank you, Karen Bell and Cindy Gaylord. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is, thank you, Amy Jurevich, our producer. Thank you, Victoria Elwood. This is listener supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.